I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the session members, I'd like to greet all of you a very, very happy Lunar New Year. May the grace and the joy and the peace of the Lord be upon all of you. And in the new year, we pray that you will have prosperity, not prosperity in the sense that the Chinese would like prosperity to be, but prosperity in the Lord. I wish you spiritual prosperity, in other words. Now, this morning, the subject is Lucky Dragon, only a myth. Now, tomorrow is the first day of the Lunar New Year, the Year of the Dragon. Now, in the Chinese zodiac, we know that there are 12 animals, and each of the animals is representative of a lunar year. And the most mighty and the most powerful animal among the 12 animals is the dragon, of course. Yes, and this is what I read about the dragon from the net. Let me read this to you. Occupying the fifth position in the Chinese zodiac. The first position is what? Red. You know, I almost have to say in Teochew, you know, to get the animals in order. So it's the red, and then number two is the ox, number three is the tiger, number four is the rabbit, number five is the dragon, okay? The dragon is the mightiest of the signs. Dragons symbolize such character traits as dominance and ambition. Dragons prefer to live by their own rules, and if left on their own, are usually successful. They are driven, unafraid of challenges, and willing to take risks. They are passionate in all that they do, and they do things in grand fashion. Unfortunately, this passion and enthusiasm can leave dragons feeling exhausted and, interestingly, unfulfilled. Now, which parents, now you tell me, which parents don't want their children to be dominant, ambitious, successful, driven, bold, and daring to take risks and be passionate about the things that they do? I'm sure parents want their kids to have those kinds of characteristics. And so they love to have what is known as dragon babies. Now, the dragon year is also supposed to be a lucky year. So in the dragon year, we'll see a baby boom in societies that believe in the Chinese zodiac. In the last dragon year, that was in the year 2000, in Taiwan, there was an increase of number of babies born by 20%. That was a lot of increase. And in Singapore, you know, it is very, very difficult to persuade couples to produce babies. There was an increase of 10% in Singapore. So the thing is there such a thing as the lucky dragon? Is the lucky dragon something that is true or a myth? Now, first of all, let's look at the dragon. Now, is the dragon a true animal? Did the dragon ever exist? Or did the dragon ever exist? Now, dragons, I dare believe, were real animals. They were real. You see, dragons are spoken of in both the Oriental cultures and the Western cultures. In many cultures, you hear of dragon being spoken of. Now, in the case of the Chinese zodiac, the fifth animal, as we say, is the dragon. Now, all the other animals in the Chinese zodiac are real animals. The rat is real, the ox is real, the horse is real, the goat is real, the cockerel is real, everyone is real. So why should the dragon be an imaginary animal? You see the argument? So the dragon must have been a real animal. Now in Britain, of course, you have the famous story of St. George and the dragon. So you see in various cultures, you find the animal dragon being mentioned. So dragons must have been real animals. And I dare believe that dragons must have been some kind of dinosaurs. They must have been. Now the question is, are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Now of course you can't find the word dinosaur in the Bible, because the word dinosaur was coined something like 170 years ago. Right? Whereas the New Testament was written about 2,000 years ago, and the first book in the Old Testament was written possibly about 3,500 years ago, and the last book about 2,400 years ago. So obviously, the word dragon cannot, dinosaur cannot be found in the Word of God. And the word dinosaur simply means terrible lizard. That's what it means. Alright? But there is one very interesting animal that is mentioned in the Word of God. And it is this animal called the behemoth. Alright, behemoth. I'd like us to turn to the Old Testament, to Job. To Job 40. Job 40. Please turn with me to Job 40. And you find this interesting creature mentioned. Job 40, verses 15 to 17. Job 40, 15 to 17. Job 40, 15 to 17. All right, let me read these verses for you. Behold now, behemoth. Now this is the creature that I'm talking about, which I made with thee. This was God talking to Job. God said, behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Now a cedar tree is a huge tree. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. Now some modern translators say that the behemoth here simply is an elephant. Alright, was an elephant, or possibly a hippo. Now look at the tail of an elephant. Is it anywhere close to a cedar tree? I think it's just a small little whip. And then you look at the hippo. The hippo hardly has a tail. So this creature that we are reading here must have been a very, very huge creature, the behemoth. And the behemoth existed at the time of Job, which was maybe about, how long ago? Maybe about 4,000 years ago. Yes, Job lived around that time. So the dinosaur was in existence at that time, I dare believe. So the dragon existed, but it has now become extinct. Now, what about the lucky dragon? Is there such a thing as the lucky dragon? Of course, my dear friends, the lucky dragon is a myth. But the superstitious people who believe in good luck would say that, well, there is such a thing as not only a dragon, but a lucky dragon. That's why they name their children dragon. You see, lots of Chinese like to name their children dragon. All right, some kind of dragon it must be. And so they say, if my son is a dragon, and if he is born in the year of the dragon, he must be a super lucky dragon. Yeah, he's going to be great, he's going to be lucky, and he's going to be successful. But friends, let's understand this truth. Luck is not the basis for success. And that's my first point this morning. Luck is not the basis for success. Now, if luck is the basis for success, you might as well say, or you students might as well say, I don't have to study very hard because all along I have been a very lucky fellow. Yes, I don't have to study very hard. I will surely pass my exams very luckily. Yes, I don't have to work hard. Now, if that be the case, if your success is based on luck, then, my dear friends, if you were born outside of the year of the dragon, let's say 5 minutes before the year of the dragon, the year preceding the year of the dragon, which means you were born in the year of the rabbit. And then let's say come the university intake, say 6 years from now, which means those born in the year of the dragon will be 18 years old, right? Now during that time, during that university intake, if you were not born in the year of the dragon, hard luck for you, because you will not qualify. Only those born in the year of the dragon who would pass their exams luckily and would make the application to the university and will be luckily accepted in the university will be accepted. But you, sorry for you, because you were not born in the year of the dragon. Of course, I've given you a very ludicrous example. But the truth is, lots of people live their lives based on luck. It's true. I am reminded of a story I read some years ago about this fella who one day was out walking, and then he looked on the ground and he found a $50 note. He picked up that $50 note. He said, wow, what good luck do I have? So he was very happy with the $50 note that he picked up. But as of that day, he never lifted up his face again. He kept looking at the ground, waiting for his good luck to give him the next $50. Now, this illustration may sound very, very far-fetched, but the truth is, there are lots of superstitious who operate their lives based on good luck. So they will consult their fortune tellers to tell them about the good days that they can do things, and they will depend on their stars, and they will depend on their geomancers to tell them what to do. So for the wedding day, the couple will choose the most auspicious day based on the stars or based on what the fortune teller will tell them. It must be the luckiest day of their lives. And when people travel, they check with their stars, or they check their horoscopes, and they consult their fortune tellers as to when they should be traveling. They want to travel on their lucky days. Then I'm sure we must have seen how businesses would position the doors of their offices, those people who believe in geomancy, right? They position the doors in such a way that, you know, that will tally favorably with what the geomancer tells them to position the doors in. So the doors will be placed in a very awkward position. The door would not be flush with the wall. Have you seen those kinds of doors? Yes, funny position doors. So important is good luck to business people that they will do anything to make sure their luck is on their side. Now, years ago, I remember the company that I was working for wanted to relocate its office in Hong Kong. So it was relocating from a crummy place, I presume, to a bigger place, to a central district in Hong Kong. It wanted to place that office in a very prestigious building. And it was in the year 1988, auspicious year. And so they must choose the day for the grand opening of their office. Now, which month do you think they will choose the month for the grand opening? August. Which day? Eight, you're right. You see, you don't need to have brains to know that. Yes. And you know what time? 8 a.m. That's right, 8 a.m. Now, if the executives of the company had their way, I'm sure they would have made it very, very precise. They would bang the gong at exactly 8 seconds after the 8th minute on the after 8 o'clock on the 8th of August 1988. So it's 8-8-8-8-8 all the way. Now, why 8? Now, those people who do not understand the Chinese culture, the number 8 is the word bat. Now, bat phonetically sounds like fat. Now, fat means prosperity. So Chinese love prosperity. The more number of eights, the better the luck would be. And you guess what? Who declared the office open? You think it was the Hong Kong Chinese? It was the Americans. Yes, yes. They were in Hong Kong for so long. They were so influenced by the local Chinese that they also were overtaken by this myth that there is luck with the number 8. But friends, the truth is, success of work, business, operations, studies does not depend on luck. As a general rule, success depends on hard work. You cannot be lazy and expect to be successful. You cannot be lazy and expect to be prosperous. The Word of God teaches us to be very, very industrious. So you look at verse 10, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. All right? The Word of God says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. When you are alive, we have a breath in your nostrils, you work very, very hard. When you die, you can't work anymore. And then if you are lazy, the Word of God tells us this in Proverbs 6:6-8. You just turn a few pages back, you come to Proverbs 6. Yes? Proverbs 6 and 6-8. But keep your finger at Ecclesiastes 9 because I'll be coming back to those few verses. Proverbs 6:6-8. All right, read for you. Go to the end, thou sluggard. It means you lazy people. Go to the end, you lazy people. consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. True believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are not lazy, and they cannot be lazy. They must work hard. Now, there were those in the early church in the city of Thessalonica who were very lazy. You know why they were lazy? You know why they were lazy? They were lazy because actually they gave this as the reason for, or the excuse for, their laziness. They were waiting for the soon return of Jesus Christ. And so they said, since the Lord is going to coming soon, so why should we work? So they refused to work. And Paul had to write this to them. If you don't work, you don't eat. Paul had to write this to them. So friends, if we are aiming for success in what the Lord wants us to do, we must work hard. And as for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet, understand this truth. It is not good luck, but hard work that produces success. Not good luck, but hard work. The dragon was a real animal, not a myth, but the lucky dragon is. Now let's look at the general rule for success, which is my second point. The general rule for success. But let's also see that this general rule does not always apply. Look at verse 11, Ecclesiastes 9:11. Right, the writer of Ecclesiastes, I believe, was King Solomon, and this is what is written here, verse 11. Yes, the writer says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So what is the general rule for success? It is this. The winners of a race are those who are fast. Yes, the race will go to the swift. The battle will go to the strong. The strong will win the fight. And then bread will go to the wise. In other words, the wise will be the people who will be rewarded. Riches will go to those people who are knowledgeable, people who are expert at business, who have got good business acumen, and who are very, very knowledgeable in management and so forth. Yes, success will go to them. Riches will go to them. And then favor will go to those who are skillful. Right? And that's the general rule. So, the race is usually won by the fastest runner. And that's true. Yes. And that's the rule. But that's not always the case. Alright? That rule does not always apply. Haven't we heard this outcome of a contest? Oh, there was an upset. A was supposed to win, but instead B won. You see, haven't we heard of that? Now, I remember last year in an international meet, athletic meet, this man, Usain Bolt, who was supposed to be the fastest man in a 100-meter race. He was the fastest man. And he was supposed to have won the race, but he did not. You know why? He had a false start. He tried to beat the gun and he was disqualified and he didn't win. So you see, the race is not necessarily to the swiftest. And indeed, many athletes show great promise when they are young. They are junior champions and are expected to grow into senior champions. But they never became the champions that people thought they would become, or they themselves thought they would become. They never make it. They start well, but they don't end well. They fizzle out into unknowns when they grow up into adults. So they are swift when they are young, but the race is not to them. Swift when they are young, but still the race is not to them. And some years ago, I remember talking to my former Sunday school teacher about his father, who was an elder in the church. And while we were talking, we were at the back of the church, and then we saw this elder still serving in the church. And I made this remark to him. I said, hey, your father is still going on strong. He's so old and still going on strong. And he agreed with me. He said, yeah, my dad is strong and he's still serving the Lord very faithfully. Then he said this of himself. He said, I wonder when I reach his age whether I will be as faithful as he is. Then some years after that, I heard that this former Sunday school teacher of mine had retired from the service of the Lord. Now, he was not that old, but he had retired from the service of the Lord. He was not serving as faithfully as his father did, who served up to the day, well, to nearly till the day, till the day when he nearly entered the grave. That was how faithful he was, but not my former Sunday school teacher, who started well, but well, maybe he didn't end very well. Now today, I see young people in our midst showing promise in the service of the Lord. I see a good number of people here. Now when people look at you, they might say, well, these are young people who are going to grow up to become the leaders of the church in the future. And I sincerely hope that what they say of you will be prophetic. In other words, what they say of you will materialize. You will become the leaders that they expect you to become. And I hope that years down the road, you will be as faithful as that elder that we spoke about earlier on, who was faithful up to the end. So remember, the race is not to the swift necessarily, but the race is to those who are faithful. Remember this truth. The race is to those who are faithful. Now, the general rule is also this. The battle is to the strong. But is it always the case that the battle will always go to the strong? Again, not necessarily the case. Now, during the days of this good and godly king, King Hezekiah, the superpower of the day was Assyria. Now, Assyria would go around bullying other nations, and Assyria would conquer them, and then will subjugate them, and then will cause them to pay huge tributes to them. Yes, to this nation, Assyria. Now, one of the nations bullied was the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity. But this Judah was placed under subjugation of the nation of Assyria. But Judah rebelled. And so Assyria attacked Judah and besieged the city of Jerusalem. Now, from the human standpoint, there was absolutely no chance for of Jerusalem or the Judah escaping the might of Assyria. No chance at all. Jerusalem would surely fall into the hands of King Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria. But we read this very marvelous account given to us in the Word of God. And I'd like us to look at these words recorded for us in 2 Kings 19:32. Very interesting account. Let's look at this account. Second Kings 19:32. All right, let me read this account for you. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, King Sennacherib. He shall not come into this city. The city here refers to the city of Jerusalem, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bang against it. Now this was God speaking to King Hezekiah, the good king, through the prophet Isaiah. Okay, so Isaiah brought these words to Hezekiah. Verse 33. By the way that Sennacherib came, by the way shall he return. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. Verse 34. For I will defend this city, the city of Jerusalem, to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000. In other words, 185,000 soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses in the Assyrian camp. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed. He left the city of Jerusalem and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. Verse 37. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his god, his idol, that Adramelech and Sharezer his sons smote him. They assassinated him, in other words, with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. So, was the battle to the strong in this instance? My dear friends, it was not. If it was, then Sennacherib would have defeated Hezekiah and would have taken the Jews into captivity. No, in this instance, the battle was to the weak. It was to King Hezekiah. Now, what was the secret of Hezekiah's success? What was it, friends? The secret was this. God was on his side. That was the secret. You see, this king, godly king, had gone into the city of Jerusalem, had gone into the temple of Jerusalem to pray. He had pleaded with God to deliver the city of Jerusalem, to save Jerusalem from the siege of Sennacherib. And the Lord very kindly and very graciously and mercifully heard the prayer of this good king and delivered him from the throne, even King Sennacherib, the king of the superpower. Now, this is the lesson we must all learn. The battle is not to the strong, but it is to those who have the Lord on their side. So the question is, do we have the Lord on our side? Now, if we want to be successful in our endeavors for the Lord must be on our side. Let's remember this truth. Next, let's read about the general rule for success. Read further. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. As a rule, bread goes to the wise. Yes, bread goes to the wise, riches will go to men of understanding, favor will go to people who are skilled. Yes, but again, is it always the case? Again, not necessarily. The general rule may not apply. You consider the wisdom of this man called Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel was a very, very wise man. He served as a counselor in David's service, in the service of King David. And this was said of Ahithophel. I read this for you concerning Ahithophel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Now, he was a very wise man who gave wise counsel, particularly in military matters. And when he spoke, it was as if he had appeared before the Lord and he had obtained this counsel from God. And this counsel that he gave was actually the counsel from the one true living God. So it seemed he was as wise as that, and he was seen to be as wise as that. Then came the day when David's son Absalom rebelled against David. He wanted to usurp the throne of David. And so he raised an army to fight against David, and David and his men had no choice but very, very frantically flee the city of Jerusalem. And what about Ahithophel? Ahithophel turned traitor. He went onto the side of the son of David, to Absalom's side. And he gave counsel to Absalom, and that counsel was actually the wise counsel, militarily speaking. He told Absalom, you go after your father David now and his men. Don't waste time. Don't allow them time to regroup. Go after them and destroy them. And that was the counsel he gave to Absalom. Yes, but his counsel was defeated. His counsel was defeated by the counsel of another man called Hushai. Now, Hushai was also a counselor working for King David, but he infiltrated the camp of Absalom. So he infiltrated. Now, the purpose of his infiltration was to give a counsel that will counteract the counsel of Ahithophel. So his counsel was called for by Absalom. And the purpose of his giving the counsel was simply this. The gist of it was simply this. His intention was actually to give David and his men enough time to escape, to allow them to regroup so that they could stage a counterattack against Absalom. And you guess what? Absalom accepted whose counsel? Ahithophel or Hushai's? Hushai's, not Ahithophel's. Yes. And now, why was Ahithophel's counsel defeated? Ahithophel's counsel was defeated even though from the human standpoint it was a very, very wise counsel, and from the human standpoint he should be earning the bread. He should be rewarded for the counsel. Well, his counsel was defeated because God intervened. God intervened and through Hushai gave that counsel to Absalom so that David could escape and so that David later on could stage a counterattack against Absalom. Now poor Ahithophel's counsel was rejected and he went home very, very disappointed. He became very depressed and he committed suicide. Yes. How true, friends, the general rule for success does not always necessarily apply. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. So we have seen that luck is not the basis for success. That was my point number one. Number two, there is the general rule for success, but the general rule does not always apply. That was my point number two. Now, let the word teach us the right view in regards to success. Now, this is my third point. The right view in regards to success. Look at verses 11 and 12. Verse 11. I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. When the evil time suddenly falls upon them. So friends, from these verses, let us understand the key to success. Now, what is the key to success? The key to success is time and chance. Time and chance. Now, there is such a thing as a favorable time, and there is such a thing as an unfavorable time. The time could be very, very favorable in that the time is very opportunistic and the circumstances are just right. The right timing, so we say. Now, for example, we might not be the smartest people around, not the most talented people around. And then there is this promotion opportunity in the office. But then at that time, the smart people, the clever people are not around. They have all been sent abroad, they have been posted overseas, and so you are the only one around. What's the result? You get the promotion, alright, not because you are the smartest person around. So there is such a thing as a very favorable time, a very favorable circumstance. Or two persons may be experiencing the same event at the same time, as in the case of Ahithophel and Hushai. The time and event were the same. Hushai was favored, Ahithophel was not. The time favored Hushai, but it didn't favor Ahithophel. And to those who believe in luck, they say, wow, Hushai, lucky fella. That's why Absalom took his advice. But friends, it wasn't luck. The word of God tells us very, very clearly that it wasn't luck. I'd like us to turn to Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1. You'll see that it wasn't luck. Proverbs 21:1. Ecclesiastes, now you turn back a few pages, you come to Proverbs. Proverbs 21:1. I read for you. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Did you read that? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. You see, at that precise time when Ahithophel and Hushai were presenting their counsels to Absalom, God was working in whose heart? In the heart of Absalom. God turned the heart of Absalom to favor the counsel of Hushai and to reject Ahithophel's counsel. You see, God was working. Yes, it was not good luck. My dear friends, let us understand these truths. Our time is in the control of the one true living God. That's why we say that success is dependent on time, because our time is in the hands of the one true living God. Now, what about chance? Are all our lives operating meaninglessly in a big, gigantic cosmic lottery. Gigantic cosmic lottery. Our lives operating in this big lottery. And we say, well, everything happens to us by chance. If we made it good, it is by chance. It is our luck that we made it. If we didn't make it, it is by chance we didn't make it. It is our hard luck that we didn't make it. No, my friends, the truth is there is a purpose to everything. Everything under the sun occurs based on the design of God. God designs all those things to happen the way they happen. So the word of God says in Ecclesiastes 3:1. All right, turn to Ecclesiastes 3:1. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Okay. I read for you. To everything there is a season. Now this season is in whose hands? Of course the hands of the Lord. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. Every free action of man. It is free. Our actions are all free. But they are all ordered and disposed by God to accomplish his purpose. All these are disposed by him, ordered by him, ordained by him. For what? To accomplish his purpose. Now look at the word chance. The word chance here is not as we understand it to mean in English. Here it refers to a stroke, an action, a stroke inflicted by a higher power, and not something that is accidental, not something that is random. It is something that is purposeful. There is design in the stroke. What it means, my dear friends, is that we really have no control over our circumstances. Isn't it very true? No control over our circumstances. Yes, but as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be very, very comforted and be very, very thankful that though we don't have control over our lives, our God has control over our lives. And he loves us. And he does things to the best interest of us. Yes, that is our comfort. The whole wide universe is under the control of the one true living God. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens in a very, very timely manner, as the Lord wants those things to happen. He is absolutely sovereign. And the most comforting truth to all of us believers is this. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That is the greatest comfort to all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as believers, how should we view success? If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, how should you view success? First, success is success as seen by the one true living God. Our achievement is a success only if it brings honor and glory to the one true living God. Now, if what we think is success brings disgrace and dishonor to the name of the Lord, that is not success in the eyes of the Lord. And let's say if we obtain success, it appears to be very, very, something that is very, very successful, but the success is attained through very, very unlawful means. We broke God's laws to achieve that success. You can be very sure that success is not glorifying to the Lord. Now, we have no time to talk more about it. We can deal with it at another time. But suffice it to be said that real success is given by the one true living God. We get it not because we have good luck. We get it not because we are lucky dragons. We get it not because we are the smartest people around, as we said already. We get it not because we are the most able people around. We get it not because we are the wisest, the strongest. We get it because he gives us the timely opportunity to get it. And we get it because he designs for us to get it. So when we are successful, let's remember that success comes from whom? It comes from the one true living God. And let us always and always remember this truth. Promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but it is from the Lord. And when we get success, what should we therefore do? My dear friends, we must all very quickly go on our knees and give thanks unto the Lord for the success that he has given us. Let us humble ourselves and realize that the Lord has been very, very kind, very, very gracious to us to have given us that success. We don't deserve it at all, but he gave it to us. And if we ever think that we get success by our own strength and by our own ability, let's remember this reality given to us in verse 12. Look at verse 12, please. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 12. Remember this reality. For man also knoweth not his time, the time of his death. Do you know the time of your death? You don't know. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when the evil time falleth suddenly upon them. Our life can suddenly come to an end, just like a fish is caught in the net or a bird is caught in a trap. God has just to say this to us. Time's up for you. And that's it, my dear friends. It's time's up for you. God says to me, it's time's up for you. It's time's up for me. We cannot go on. So never let us think that, well, I'm going to achieve this success. I'm going to achieve that success. Let this reality sink into our mind. Our time is in the hand of the Lord. Yes? Now, if we ever think that we obtain success by our own strength, by our own might, remember this man called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the emperor of this powerful empire, the empire of Babylon. He built up this empire, so he thought, but it was actually God who gave him that empire. So he was very boastful and he bragged about it. The prophet Daniel actually warned him against this boastfulness of his. But he boasted. He said, look at the kingdom that I built. What a great kingdom and so forth. I built this great house, so he said. You know what God had just to do? Something very, very simple for God to do. God had just to cause one of the screws in his mind to become loose. That's all that was needed. And he became a madman. He became mad for 7 years. So what was King Nebuchadnezzar in the hands of the one true living God? His kingdom was given to him by the one true living God, and not because he got it by his own strength and by his own might. Now, knowing this truth, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all, my dear friends, should make us more prepared for failures. Yes, because we know that victory is not necessarily to the strong, and then success is not necessarily given to the people who are most able. This kind of thinking should cause us to be more prepared for failures. It should cause us to realize that if we do not succeed, it is not because we didn't try hard enough, but it is God who has ordained for us not to succeed. Remember this truth, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now I can't help when I talk about this to refer to this man, my very, very senior pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh. Now Reverend Toh was a very, very brilliant young man in school. He was the first boy in the premier school in Singapore. There were two premier schools. One of the premier schools was ACS, Anglo-Chinese School. Today, if you were to go to Anglo-Chinese School, you'll see his name on the honor roll, Toh Siang Hui, number one, first boy in the school. His last year in high school. He topped the school, and then he went to university. Now, a man with that kind of brilliance, if he went to university, you would expect him to what? To top the university also, right? But you guess what? He didn't do well in his first year. In fact, he flunked in his first year in the university. Could that happen? My dear friends, it happened. Yes? So success is not to the strong. No. Success is not to the most intelligent people. But God had a purpose for his failure. Yes? Why? Because God wanted him to be a pastor. That's the reason. Yes. And so he became a pastor. And what a wonderful pastor he became. Really very, very faithful pastor, a very, very brilliant man who became a pastor and who served the Lord very, very effectively. Friends, let's realize that the lucky dragon is only a myth. Being born in the year of the dragon has no significance, special significance at all. Let's remember this truth. Success is not based on luck. We do not operate our lives in a big cosmic meaningless lottery. As a general rule, success is achieved by the fast, by the strong, by the skillful, by those with great understanding, and to those who are skillful. Yes, but let's remember this truth. This general rule does not always apply. Not necessarily. Yes, God is sovereign. He designs, He rules the whole wide universe in accordance to His infinite wisdom, His power, His strength, His goodness, and His truth. It is He who gives the success. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but it is from Him. As believers, my dear friends, we are favored. We are favored by His very providential care. Yes, because we know that this God of ours loves us. He loves us so much that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. We know that He loves us and He cares for us. And if we fail, we can be very, very comforted by this wonderful truth that His purpose actually never fails. His purpose for us never fails. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, if you are an unbeliever, today if you are an unbeliever, you may have to think that whatever happens to you in your life, whether it be success or failures that happen in your life, my dear friends, all this happens in a very, very meaningless way. If you are an unbeliever and you don't believe in the one true living God, you have to think that I am operating in this senseless, meaningless, cosmic lottery. Everything that happens to me happens by chance. It happens. I'm successful because I'm lucky. I'm not successful because I'm unlucky. You will see everything under the sun as being meaningless. But friends, you do not have to remain in this meaningless, miserable state. This morning, on the last Sunday of the year of the rabbit, before we enter into the year of the dragon, why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Believe that He died for you on the cross of Calvary. He came to save us. He came to shed His precious blood for us, to save us from our sins. And this morning, if we are willing to acknowledge that we are sinners, and we are willing to tell Him, Lord, I want to repent for my sins. I want You to be my Lord and my Savior. Please come into my heart and rule my heart. Yes. Now the moment you did that, and if you are very, very sincere about it, my dear friends, He is going to come into your life to operate your life. And then you will no longer see life as being meaningless. You will not see yourself as being operating your life in this huge, gigantic, cosmic lottery. No, everything has a purpose. And you know that God has placed you here on earth for a very special purpose. And that is to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. And that He has placed you on this earth to prepare you for eternity. The eternity in which you will be enjoying His peace, His happiness, and His bliss. So why don't you come this morning and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful truth that our lives are in Your hands. Time and events and everything that happens under the sun is in Your hand. Lord, help us to understand this truth. And this morning, O Lord God, we pray that we may all understand that You have a purpose for each one of us, and that life need not be meaningless. And Father, we pray for those who have not trusted in You yet and who have been finding life to be very meaningless, to come and to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Help us, O Lord, to understand that success does not depend on good luck, but success depends on You, because time and chance are in Your hands. You are the one who gives the increase. You are the one who gives the promotion. Help us to understand this truth. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.